Father, who found freedom from addictions when he encountered Father's love. And that's the reason for us being here today, people being here to receive the Father's love and setting him free to embrace the joys of true sonship. And Rick's passion in this is to see the lost, broken, and hurting encounter the transforming love and power of Father God. That's what it's all about. It's coming into a place of where we have our identity in Christ, being sons to the Father. So Rick's going to come and share. So welcome, Rick, from State College. I've known him for a while now and really appreciate him.
Wow, that was a good start. That's an anointed corner over there if you ever want to go over there and meet Father. He's right there. I was just overwhelmed with his love as I was worshiping with all of you. And just, wow. I'm really excited about this. You know, this morning, it hit me. Several years ago, I was at a men's retreat with our church, and I was just really grieved in my heart the way it was handled. There was a guy there that had started an organization and a movement called the Samson Society. I don't know whether you've ever heard of it. It's supposed to be something to accountability type of thing to get free from the addictions of pornography and masturbation and those sorts of things. And I really had great expectations of what I was going to hear, but unfortunately it really, really fell short of realizing the only thing that's going to set those men free that were at that retreat is the encounter with a Father that loved them. Comforting love to heal that pain, because it's just the false lovers, it's just the things of the flesh that we use to try and comfort the pain that's in our heart. And the reality is the only thing that really can comfort that pain is the comforting love of the Father, and take that away. And that's what my heart ever since then was, I want to do a retreat. And I want to share with the men the real secret of setting their hearts free and setting them free from whatever the addictions are that are trying to cause us to try to comfort our pain, to be set free from that. And so Father smiled at me this morning and he says, you know, I gave you the desire of your heart. Here you are. And I'm just looking out at you men, and it's just overwhelmed me that Father likes to put desires in our hearts so he can have the fun of fulfilling them. And so if you have desires in your heart, the Father's put them there, and he really wants to fulfill them for you. He wants to have the joy and the fun and the excitement of fulfilling them. So I'm just reveling in that joy and excitement this morning myself. So I want to just start off with some prayer before we really get into anything. So, Father, I just thank you that you are our Father. You are the Father that loves us and loves us just the way we are. And I just am overwhelmed by your love. And Father, that you just impact every heart here this morning, that you speak through me, that my heart would touch their hearts as your heart has touched mine, and that their hearts would be changed as you have changed my heart, and that there would be seeds of change planted in every person's heart here this morning. Father, just open their hearts to hear with their heart and not with just their head. Father, that you open their eyes to see, and that they would see with their heart and not just with their natural eyes. Everything that comes today is from you, and everything that goes into their hearts is from you. Lord, let my words be your words this morning. And thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I put up here the topic of what I want to talk about, and it reminds me of the name tags like we have. I think I lost mine. You know, we do this so that people can know who we are and we can feel comfortable. We don't have to stumble around trying to find out who you are. We can see it on your name tag. And it gives us an opportunity to open up a conversation and to get to know each other. And the person that I would like you to get to know a little better today is Father. I invited Dad to come and to share his heart with you. and let you get to know him a little bit. So the first thing I want to do is just show you a short video. It really impacted my heart when I watch it, every time I watch it, and I think that every one of us in here can identify what Misty Edwards is singing about. So if we can roll that. That's one of those pause and think about that. You know, we could just go home right now and that let the words of that song sink into your heart, and it would impact you and everything about you. That last part of the song there is really tears at my heart, because I basically ended up treating my sons a lot like my dad treated me, and which was not a really good situation, and I have a lot of regrets, and I have to do just like what the song says, turn it over to him, because he can father them every place that I wasn't able to parent them in the right way. I don't know whether any of you can identify with that yourselves, but that was a part of my story. Even if you had a good father, like Pastor Dave was blessed, and some of you may have been blessed with a really good father, but there's no real perfect fathers. And even though none of our fathers intended to hurt us, or none of our fathers intended to do anything that would wound our hearts, hurting people hurt other people. And we have a tendency to live out our lives and treat our children the way our fathers treated us by default, unless we make a decision to do it differently. And so some of us had fathers that were hurt themselves. I don't know how much your fathers ever opened up and shared things with you about their childhoods, but it can be a real eye-opener to know what they walked through and probably why they treated you maybe the way they did treat you. But even with the good fathers, there's two types of wounds that we can end up having and receiving and dealing with in our lives. And the type B wounds, I think that's what Pastor Dave was talking about last night. You know, I had a good father. I didn't receive any of those type B wounds from my dad. The abuse, the verbal abuse, the emotional abuse, the physical abuse, the anger, the rage, the alcohol, all those kind of really bad things that a child can experience and be wounded by. But there's also a whole set of we call them type A wounds. And those are the ones that are a little harder to identify and realize that maybe we did get wounded by. And those were all the things that our fathers were supposed to do for us, but they didn't do. Those are all the times when we needed a hug and we didn't get it. We just needed somebody to listen to us and they didn't listen. We needed somebody to encourage us. We needed somebody to lift us up when we fell and stumbled and hurt ourselves, whether it was in school or at sports or just on the playground interacting with the other kids. And maybe you had to deal with bullies. I had to deal with bullies when I was growing up. And there was nobody there to comfort. There was nobody there to help you walk through those deals. And maybe your father didn't really do what he was supposed to do in training you and showing you how to live a godly, moral life. My dad wasn't saved, so he didn't know. You know, a lot of times our fathers just didn't know what to do because they didn't have fathers that knew what to do and how to train their children. And so we didn't get what we needed to do. And those are just as deep and hurtful wounds as those abusive and really dramatic B wounds are. The A wounds are harder to identify. And yet, I believe that every one of us is probably carrying around some A wounds that would be good to get rid of. I think Pastor Dave shared one last evening when he shared about him coming home as a young 6-year-old boy and seeing a moving truck there and going away, and how that really hurt him. There was no father there to comfort him. There was nobody there to even prepare him for it ahead of time that should have taken place. A loving, caring father should have let his boy know that, hey, you know, tomorrow the movies, you know, or next week we're moving, or, and it's going to be different, and there's going to be a lot of things. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to comfort you, and we're going to walk through this together. It didn't happen, and so lodged a wound in Pastor Dave's heart that he carried with him and influenced his life for probably 40, he said he was in his 50s, so probably 45 years or so, he was carrying that a wound in his heart. So all of us have to realize that there are some things that we need to deal with too in our hearts to get our hearts completely healed and being able to receive all the love that the Father has for us. So what I'd like to start off with is just asking you some questions about your natural father and what you experienced growing up as a child. If you want to, you can write them down and think about them later, because it might open up some opportunities for you to get free for some more wounding that you might not even realize was there under the surface. But just think about each one of these and see what the Holy Spirit brings to your consciousness as you think about the answers to these questions. If you had to describe your father when you were growing up as a young child to someone who didn't know anything about him, and you only had three words to choose to describe that to that person, what would those three words be? How would you describe your father in three words to someone as you interacted with him as a child growing up? What the Holy Spirit brings up to you might really surprise you. It's question number two. How did you relate to your father growing up? Was it a close fellowship, friendship kind of a relationship, or was it distant? Was it cold love, or was it expressed love? Did he touch you? Did he hug you? Did he hold you when you were hurting? Did he carry you around and interact with you, even wrestling and doing some of the physical things are so important to a father and son together? We all need to be touched, and we all need to be touched in a variety of different ways. And so even wrestling and some of the fun things you might have done with your dad just in play are really significant and important. And if he wasn't around to do that, like my dad wasn't, my dad had to work three jobs just to keep money on, you know, coming in to take care of us. And later on, he said, "That's how I loved you. I thought I was loving you because I was providing. I was bringing in what needed to be brought in." Well, I was thankful that we did have money and a house and clothes and food and everything, but it took him away from me. I didn't get to play ball with him. I didn't get to wrestle with him. If I wanted to enjoy being in his presence, I worked with him. I worked outside. He fixed everything he could fix. I worked on cars with him. That was the only time I got a chance to even interact with him. And I still remember sitting on his lap. He would trim my toenails and fingernails as a little boy, and he would sit me on his lap, and it was easier for him to reach around with his fingernail clippers and clip it. And that was the most comforting interaction I had with my dad, and the only real time he ever really touched me. He was very passive, and he was really uncomfortable with love. If your dad was uncomfortable with love, he didn't hug because he didn't feel comfortable about that. He was very concerned about us boys becoming homosexuals or something, or being misguided in our sexual orientation. So he didn't hug. He didn't feel comfortable doing that. And in fact, he told my mother, I found out later, close to when she was ready to move to heaven, that he told her he didn't want her to show too much affection towards us either, because he didn't want us to be soft. He didn't want us to be anything girly about us. So she was even restricted in how much she could express love to us growing up as well. So was there a lot of anger and turmoil and hatred between the two of you? Well, maybe there wasn't any much interaction at all, or maybe there was verbal or physical or emotional abuse. Did he have a favor line? You know, there's a lot of performance-oriented fathers that set a very high standard for their children. My wife had a very performance-oriented father, and she had to perform in order to get his favor and love. And so all of us experience these favor lines in our lives. If you do good, you get good, but if you do bad, you get bad. And as long as you were on the right side of the favor line, everything went well. But if you crossed over the line, look out. Question number 3, what did you call your father growing up? Did you call him dad? Did you call him father? Did you use his first name? I have a friend whose father lived to be 102 years old. And when I first met him and we started this journey together of healing his, seeing his heart healed, his expression was about his father, that thing that he remembered the most about his father. He says, he beat the snot out of me all the time. That was exactly his exact words. And he always called his father John by his first name. Up to the very day his dad passed away at 102, he never could call him dad or father. We had a young woman come to us for ministry, and we started talking about the father, and she couldn't relate to a father at all because of what happened to her from her father. And we had to really work around that in order to get her to the place where she could start accepting him as a father. And it's the way we went with that was that, well, could you think of him as you being his adopted child, maybe not his actual natural father, but an adopted child to the father, and then to transfer that into what the scriptures say, that father has adopted us into the family. And so she was able to get around that whole word father. It wasn't just a painful word in her memory. So what did you call your father growing up? So number 4, what kind of conversations did you have with your father? Did you only talk about news, weather, and sports? Was everything just surface level? Nothing really deep or emotional? I learned at a really young age that it was wrong to have emotions. And most of us, we don't even think about how we do this, but we do it to our kids when they come in and they're crying and we say, oh, don't cry, don't cry, it's going to be all right. What little child doesn't have this logical thinking going on that you're just trying to comfort them? What's coming into them is that, oh, it's wrong to show emotions. It's wrong to cry. So how many of you have cried recently? I was just had tears running down my face over there. Those are emotions and expression of emotions that I could never have growing up. I had to be tough. I pulled all my emotions and feelings in. I didn't let anybody see anything that would show weakness in me. And so we can inadvertently teach our kids it's wrong to show emotions and feelings and not even know we're doing it. So were the conversations intimate and personal? Did you get into issues like how you were feeling? A couple times I came to my dad with some emotions and difficulties, and he just laughed at me. He thought it was funny. Were you able to open up and really share your heart with your father, really express what was on your heart, whether it was good or bad? Would he get excited and laugh and comfort you when you at least were feeling good? Were you allowed to express emotions and feelings with your dad? Or was he uncomfortable? My dad was very uncomfortable with emotions. He couldn't handle that. Did you have any deep spiritual conversations? Did he talk to you about his faith? Did he share with you about how the Father was impacting his heart? How things were happening in his life? Did he able to ask questions and have him answer them for you? Or did he just kind of brush you off or say, I'm too busy, don't ask me any more questions? Did he teach you and train you growing up? One big part of a father's role with their children is to help them walk into adulthood and training, even in social skills and how to handle dating and how to handle yourself around a woman and how to deal with those powerful sexual emotions and feelings that all young men have in those teenage years. And so did he talk to you about those kind of things? Did he have a compassionate heart for you? Did he weep when you wept? Did he laugh when you laughed? Did he express his concerns and compassion with you growing up? Did you have a heart level connection with him? Could you speak heart to heart with him? Could you look at your father in his eyes and speak to him? Or could your father look you in the eyes and speak to you? I could never look at my father in the eyes. In fact, I could never look at the eyes of anyone. I would look away or look down, or I couldn't really make eye-to-eye contact. And so one day I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about with Moses, when in the scriptures there are several people that in the scriptures that talk about having face-to-face interaction with the Father, seeing the Father face-to-face or being face-to-face with the Father in His presence. And I was thinking about that and how it impacted all those people's lives. You think about Moses had a face-to-face relationship with God. And what hit me was is that I learned that the eyes are the doorway to your heart. When you look at into someone's eyes, you're actually seeing into their heart. And they've done amazing experiments with the brain to realize that that is actually what's going on physically. You're looking at the left eye, and you're looking at their left eye, you're looking right into their heart because you're looking right into the right side of the brain. The left eye is connected to the right side of the brain, and the right eye is connected to the left side of the brain for whatever reason, I don't know. But you're looking into the person's heart. And that's why sometimes it's really difficult to make eye-to-eye contact. Well, when the Father is looking face-to-face at you, what is He doing? He's right there, eye-to-eye, heart-to-heart. And that's the kind of face-to-face relationship He wants to have with us. And so did you have that with your natural father? What sort of things did you do together? Did you have fun, play sports? I didn't even get to throw a ball, baseball, or anything with my dad. He was always working, always fixing something or doing one of the three jobs that he worked on. What sort of things did your father teach you as you were growing up? Did he pass on some of the skills and knowledge and things that he had and learned in his life? Did he teach you about social ways of interacting with people and helping you feel comfortable around other people? Did your father help you find your calling in life? One of the four major heart desires and needs that every person has is to know what their purpose in life is. And our fathers were supposed to tell us and teach us and show us how to find that purpose in our life. Really, it's the desire. What's the biggest desire in your heart? You'll never go wrong pursuing the big desire that God put in your heart. That's the one, that's your really purpose and calling in life. What was that? And how did your father correct you? Did he correct you out of anger, or did he correct you in love? After he corrected you, did he hug you or hold you or put you on your lap and love you and say, I'm doing this because I love you? My mother did a little bit of that, and I could never really understand why she was saying that at the time, but it was really true. Correction and for loving discipline is done and out of love because we don't want you to mess up and go the wrong direction and do the wrong things. So that's just a few to try and maybe get you in touch with. Maybe there are some A wounds there that haven't been dealt with in your own life. And those are things that you can just go to the Father about. And just like Pastor Dave was talking about last night, forgiveness is the big way to get rid of all that stuff. And it's heart forgiveness. It's one thing to forgive, and you can forgive with your head. You can forgive with just your thinking and logical thinking. Well, I know I need to forgive that person. It's a Christian thing to do. When you get born again, they tell you need to go forgive those people. And scriptures give you a number of times when you should forgive, when you're praying. And you should go, if you have anything against anyone, go and forgive them. So you can do it out of just a duty kind of an attitude. Well, that's what I'm supposed to do. Or you can forgive from your heart. And heart forgiveness is a whole lot bigger thing. It's why Jesus told the story about the rich man forgiving his servant. He said that he called in his servant and asked to give an account of everything he owed him. And when you forgive somebody, that's exactly what you need to do. What is the debt? Pastor Dave talked about that. You got to release this debt. And sometimes it's huge. You think about something that your dad may have done when you were 5 or 6 years old that has impacted the rest of your life. And there's been all kinds of problems and difficulties and trials. And I mean, this could be a very big debt that you're just going to have to release and let go and forgive your dad when you forgive your from the heart. And all the pain. You know, when we minister to people, there's a part of it where we just have them release all the pain, all the things associated with that whatever it is you're forgiving them for. Because you need to get that out of you. You need to get that out of your heart and out into Jesus' hands and let him take it away. And so heart forgiveness is getting rid of the pain, getting rid of the memories, the negative memories. You know, we store all these negative cellular memories in our heart until we deal with them and cleanse them through forgiveness and through the washing of the blood. And it says the blood cleanses our mind of all evil and all evil thoughts. Allow the blood to wash over those memories and just take them away. And it's just amazing the peace that people experience when all these painful and negative memories get released. And you got to see them out of you. It's really important to see them out of you and on the cross and out of you in Jesus' hands. One of the really big things why I took as much time as I have with this is that we tend to see the Heavenly Father through the filter of our natural father. We relate to our Heavenly Father the way we related to our natural father. And if it was a good relationship, great. You're going to have a very positive relationship and image of the Heavenly Father. But for me, I had a very wrong and a negative image of the Father and how he was more authoritarian and full of anger and he would explode when didn't like what I was doing and those kind of things. That was just my thinking of what the Father was. And you read the Old Testament and you could really fall right into that pattern of thinking. Well, yeah, he killed all the ites in the land. Just go in there and kill them all. Father, mother, fathers, children, animals, wipe everything out. And that is the kind of thought pattern that I was going on because I was relating to my Heavenly Father the way I related to the Earthly Father. And as I was even preparing to speak today, I had another revelation the Father gave me about sons and sonship. And just as much as we filter the way we see the Heavenly Father through our natural father, he was showing me that we filter how we respond as sons to him the same way we responded as sons to our natural father. How did you respond? It's one thing to realize that our fathers may have not been perfect fathers and there were places and times when they may have hurt us, but it's our response that's the most important part. How did we respond as sons to our father? Well, for me, the response was withdrawal. When I was 11 years old, I can remember standing in the kitchen of our house. The Holy Spirit just brought that memory back to me. I was listening to my brother who was down in the basement, being chased by my dad with an army belt, hitting him wherever he could hit him until his anger was satisfied. And I made the decision I was not going to go down that basement and have him do that to me anymore. And so I became the obedient child. I did everything I could to avoid getting my dad mad at me and ending up in the basement. My mother reinforced that, and I'll share a little bit more how that impacted my life later on, but I became an orphan. I withdrew from the relationship with my father. I grew up in their house. He took care of me and everything, and I received a lot of good things from him, but I had no relationship with him. There was no intimacy, there was no love exchanged between us. I was just being obedient, not because I was honoring my mother and father, which we were supposed to do. I was being obedient and honoring him because I was scared. You know, that's all the more I want to share about father issues. I probably spent more time than I should have. But I want to introduce you to a loving Heavenly Father, the perfect Father. And if you didn't get fathered the right way growing up, I want you to know that Heavenly Father loves you, and He thinks you're marvelous. He thinks you are the best. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing you could ever do that would cause Him to love you any less than He loves you right now. There's nothing you've ever done or said or could ever do or say in the future that would change His love for you. And it would even cause Him to love you any more than He loves you right now. He accepts us, each one of us, right where we are. And that is just such an awesome, awesome reality in our lives. And I unfortunately didn't get to experience that until the last 14 years of my life, that real loving, unconditional loving Father that I want to just spend the rest of our morning together talking about. He's the one that set me free, as Fred mentioned earlier, from the addictions of pornography, masturbation, voyeurism, fantasy lust. My brothers introduced me to it when I was 11 years old, and it became my comfort. It became my source of comfort, and I hid it as a secret sin in my life for 40-some years, just on this roller coaster ride. And I didn't get saved until I was senior in college through Campus Crusade for Christ. And I had a very dramatic salvation when the guy from Campus Crusade shared the four spiritual laws with me and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. It was like this 1,000-pound weight lifting off of my shoulders. And I felt so free and so light. And yet I didn't give Father the rest of my life. I didn't give Him my heart, and I didn't make Him Lord for another 30 years after that. I would get free, and my will would be strong enough to stop for a while, and then I'd slide back down in and just up and down. And it wasn't until I was introduced to a loving Heavenly Father and experienced that love. And that's the place where my heart's desire for all of you are this morning and this weekend, is to have an experiential knowledge of His love. It was one thing to say and know that the Father loves me, and it's a whole different thing to realize that He's loving me continuously, and He's loving me right now. And regardless of what I did yesterday or this morning or last week or 10 years ago, He's still loving me, and He still loves me with an everlasting, unconditional love that will go on forever and ever. And He turned my marriage around. When I got free of all that junk, it just revolutionized my marriage. I mean, it just set my wife free from all the defilement. And she knew something was not right between our relationship. And yet I kept a very tight lid and secret about all that. And what was just so freeing, the last 14 years have been like off the chart. If you'd told me that married life and every aspect of married life could be as good as we're experiencing, I would never even dreamed it possible. And yet He set me free and just gave me my wife, and He released me from the prison. I had built a self-made prison around myself to protect myself, and I felt safe inside that prison with all my emotions and feelings and guarded, and I couldn't handle rejection, so I didn't interact with anybody. I was pretty much a loner all through school. I had this one friend, close guy friend, that we just ran around and did some fun things with together. But mostly I didn't interact with anybody. I was in this little self-safe prison that I had built around myself, and he busted that wall down. I had a jailbreak. The whole rest of your life is this process of being set free. First of all, you get set free to really receive His love, and then you get set free from all the stuff, all the bad choices. One thing besides hurting people, hurting other people is that hurting people make bad choices. And all those bad choices I had made had created a lot of other problems and issues in my life. One day, just to awaken my spirit and release my captive spirit, Jesus came riding up on his horse, and just like in the movies where they lasso the bars on the window of the jail, and he wrapped it around the horn of his saddle, and he turned around and rode off, and it just tore the whole wall down, and I ran out of that jail, and I've been free ever since. I actually ran around the house, and he's totally transformed my life. The scriptures say that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind, and I believe the word does transform our brain and our mind and our thinking, but I see you're more transformed by the Father's comforting love. And that comforting love transformed me into becoming more and more like Jesus, becoming more and more like the Son that He was to the Father. And so I want to plant some hunger in your life and plant some thoughts into your life that I believe will help change you forever. One of those is just to get you in touch with a whole different aspect of the Father that you may not have ever been in touch with. Most men struggle in this whole area of becoming more in touch with the feminine side of their lives. Then I want to read Ephesians 2, 4 through 7. But I'm going to read it from the Amplified, Ephesians 2, 4 and verse 7. But God, so rich in His mercy, because of in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which He loves us, He did this that He might clearly demonstrate through the ages to come that immeasurable, limitless, surpassing riches of His free grace, His unmerited favor, in kindness and goodness of heart towards us in Christ Jesus. Wow. We don't hear those words in church a whole lot. I have a book over there. It's called Daddy, You Love Me. And this Brent Locker, the author of it, he could not receive or experience the Father's love, and so he just kept saying this. He said when he started out, he was saying it 300 times a day. Daddy, You Love Me. Daddy, You Love Me. Until it just finally sunk into his heart what that really meant. That limitless, immeasurable, great and wonderful and intense love. He's pursuing us with that love. He's pouring His love on us all the time. And we just need to open our hearts and let Him love us. Well, let us receive it. The masculine is the one who pursues in a marriage relationship. You know, everything in the natural that we experience has a spiritual connection and a spiritual understanding to it. We can learn so much about the spiritual by looking at the natural. And even in the relationship, how He made us man and woman, He made the man to pursue the woman. Our society is getting us mixed up, and women are more and more trying to pursue men into marriage, but the plan was that the men are to be the pursuers. The men are the one that come riding up as a knight in shining armor and slay the dragon and rescue the damsel from the tower, and they get married and they live happily ever after. That's the dream that's in the heart of I believe the Father put it in the heart of every woman, to have that knight come and rescue them and carry them away and for them to live happily ever after together. That's why those fairy tales, like I heard when I was a little boy and my parents told me because they knew them, and girls still are captivated by all the fairy tales because they're all stories about the strong knight, the strong man coming and rescuing them, taking them away. And we even went over to, when we were in Kenya, we had on a compound where they had some young children. There was some girls playing, and we asked them, is that your heart too? And in Kenya, Africa, out in the middle of nowhere practically, they said yes. That was in their heart, that vision of coming and someone coming and rescuing them and taking them away to live happily ever after. And that's the way the Father is. He's pursuing us. And so the feminine side is to receive. When you even think about the natural part of creation, the man gives the sperm into the woman and she receives it. The woman is the receiver. And so For us to open our hearts and receive the Father's love, we have to get over on our feminine side. We have to allow God to be the masculine pursuer and pursuing us and giving us His love, and we need to receive it just as our wives receive our love as we pursue them. And so that whole thought process is something that is kind of can be uncomfortable for a lot of men. It was really uncomfortable for me for a long time, too. We hear everybody talking about we're going to be the bride of Christ, and boy, for the longest time, I don't want to be a bride standing in white dress. What are you talking about here? How can I be a bride of Christ? And yet, that's really, I believe, where what he's talking about is opening your heart and becoming that willing and open as a son to receive the Father's love and receive Jesus' love as our bridegroom.